Funny to tell you, we're going to finish the introductory tonight. What we don't get done, we're just going to start off in the first chapter Sunday morning. I have to bring up one scripture. I know I got more material than we'll ever get through. I'm noted for that. But you cannot introduce the book of Philippians without talking about the fourth chapter, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we see that in Paul's life. And I know we're going to get to this in verse by verse, but I have to bring it up for introductory too. We're looking at Philippians, the first chapter 2 and 3. It says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every members of you. This is Paul writing from prison to the church there at Philippi, or to the Christians there at Philippi. And their close bond and relationship to each other. Mutual respect that they had for Paul and Paul for them. And this is one of the reasons that it went that way. These verses are easy to understand. They need more to be imitated than to be interpreted. So what we need to do is try to incorporate it in our lives. Paul gives thanks for the brethren. And evidently we need to do that too. Do we give thanks for our brethren? Well, we should. Not only for the preacher and the elders, but for all the brethren. And we should be praying for them. This is Paul's attitude towards the church there. In Philippians was mentioned with thankfulness. Paul's prayer on their behalf of his need was not selfish or self-centered, and they did help him over and over again. And we said, this is a scriptural way to do it. For the congregation to send the money or support directly to the Apostle Paul or to the evangelist. Not a sponsoring church. A lot of small congregations said, well, we don't have a $200 a month. We'll give it to one central church and one central eldership and let them disperse it all. No, that's not a New Testament plan. You don't read that in the New Testament. The elders is over their own flock, not over a group. And a group does not go and designate who they send money to. If the Philippian church, Southside church, or whatever church, want to send money for evangelist work, they send it directly to the preacher, not through some type of sponsor. That's foreign to the New Testament. You remember we talked about that last time. Paul was very appreciative of this. And that's probably one reason that it was in his prayer. But this is not a book of a thank you note for their money. It goes deeper than that. Paul is thankful that they standing for the truth and that they're evangelizing for the truth there, and that's what it should be. He was very appreciative of support that was coming to him from the church there, and he mentions that they'd done it more than once, and they should. If a brother is going to give his life or support to preach the gospel, then the church should support him. Philippians 4 and 4 says, blessed, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. This is really a command, if you look at it. The Apostle Paul says, you rejoice in the Lord. That's a command to do it. And God's never laid anything upon us that we could not do. So we should rejoice. Why? Besides the fact that it's a command for us to do.
The
The number one thing would be the salvation that God has provided to us through the Lord, through Jesus Christ himself. And we need to be thankful for that. We need to be thankful for everything. We need to be thankful for this group that's here tonight, even though we got a vast number out sick. We understand that, everything. Paul, yes. Yes, and just like the song that Ken sung tonight, you couldn't pick a more appropriate song for the lesson than what we sung tonight. That's very appropriate. Paul knew that human strength alone could not make it. That's the reason he relied upon God so much, upon Jesus Christ. He needed some greater power. So, Paul was concerned. He was in love with the church at Philippi because of the gospel. The gospel is looking ahead. I don't know if you know anything about it, but the gospel shows us how things are going to be in the future. Everybody wants to look at the future. Well, you look in the gospel. You'll find out about the future. The gospel is looking at ahead. Matter of fact, it's looking throughout eternity, where I'm going to spend eternity, where I'm going to be throughout eternity. And that's the one reason Apostle Paul knew it was so important. Everybody wants to know what's around the corner. Everybody wants to know what's going to happen on the road. You want to know about the gospel then. The gospel is looking ahead. The gospel enlightens us or gives us insight, view of what's coming or what's going to be down the road. And that's the reason it appeals to us so much. It should. You remember Doug said that the book of Ephesians is to glorify God. That's what the gospel does. The gospel glorifies God. That's another thing. First thing is important to us, the gospel is looking ahead, showing us what's going to happen. Showing us how we should be, how God wants us to be. And then it glorifies God. The gospel glorifies God. We're talking about a book of Ephesians that we should glorify God. Well, we should keep our nose in the gospel. We should obey the gospel. Our call to the gospel is the more important than anything in the world. I don't care if you grow up to be a doctor, a surgeon, the gospel is more important to each and every one of us than anything in the world. We accept the gospel, and when I say the gospel, I'm not talking about man's plan. You remember last week we were talking about elders and being in charge of life. I noticed this week when I was driving around so many, especially a little small congregation, they'll have Pastor so-and-so's name on the sign outside. Like they're promoting him. There's nowhere in the Bible that you have a pastor. Not one. So these people are doing this, they're doing it without the authority of God. Me and Don Bassett took on a bunch of Latter-day Saints and everything. We had a couple 18-year-old elders that came over. And Don ate their lunch. I remember, I never will forget that. Don said, you know, you guys have been programmed in a certain way, a certain thing. He said, I'm going to deprogram you and see how much of the Bible that you really know. He said, you don't know too much. You wouldn't be out pushing this. That happened in my living room in my house. They came about four or five times, and then they left. Never did want to come back. Didn't want no part of him. That is Don Bassett. Don's dead now. He's about a year older now. But he died, and he was a good friend of mine. We was in a lot of Bible studies together. He was a smart man. He was wrong in one aspect, but outside of that, he was smart in everything else. our call is the most to the gospel, the most important thing that we possibly can do. It not only affects us, but it affects our family, our friends, our association, people who work for us, or people who work with us. It's that important. It shows our future. It shows that how we can be with God. Not what man says about the gospel, but what God says about it. It's very important to us, the gospel. And Paul knew this. And Paul saw that the church there at Philippi, was spreading the gospel. And that's the reason they were in such agreement. And Paul was spreading the gospel. And that's the reason they were in such agreement. It's very important. God calls us to spread the gospel. That's His way. The way God has chosen for mankind to know about God is through the gospel. God said, you take the gospel, you take the word into all the world. Not man's version, my version, that I send the Holy Spirit and the inspired apostles to deliver to you. This is how I seek men. This is how I would go about seeking a man. God uses the gospel to spread His good news. This is God's plan. It's not mine. It's not Southside. We're just doing what God tells us to do. God said, I've chosen to let the world know about my Son through the gospel. The gospel is the power. And God chose to do it that way. This is His way to do it. Not what man says the gospel teaches, but what I tell you to do, God says. That's the reason it's so important that we have the authority for everything that we do. Philippians, the first chapter in verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. The reason Paul does that, because that's what the church there at Philippi was doing. They were spreading the gospel, and he was very thankful of that. We need to be thankful of that. That's what we're trying to do here at Southside. We got some good people here, and we want to be noted for nothing but spreading the gospel. That's the only thing that we have that we want to share with people. We have a great work to do and fellowship to share. And we need to do all this together. When we started this work, I was just within a hair of going and preaching for some congregation. I was dealing with about two or three congregations. So I wasn't at 12th Street very much. And I was making the deal that I'd probably go on Social Security and then I would preach for, I had two or three offers, and I would preach for them. And I told my secretary, I said, I think I'll do this. But Cindy's got retirement. I got Social Security, and then they'll pay me to preach. And that's what I want to do. I want to close out my life. Then I ran across Dale and Bill one time on Wednesday. Dale said, well, man, Bill, we're thinking about leaving. I said, no, don't do that. I said, there's no place else I want to go. I said, if you want to start a new work, I'll go with you. And I'll preach for you until we get a preacher. And I said, we can't let this get out. Can't let anybody know about it. We cannot split this church. I didn't know a bunch of them was going to leave after that and went to West End. But anyway, that's how it got started. And then Larry found out about it, probably from Bill, because Bill and Larry was. And Larry came up and said, I'm going to go with you four. Well, we got four men that can preach and teach and do anything. And they're all good buddies, all heavy contributors. Got four women that can take care of the classroom. So I said, we're a success already. We haven't even met the first time. I know we're going to do it all right. Plus, we had a lot of good people join us since then. And then about 6 months' time, I think we had, 55,000 dollars in the bank. And about 35 of us. Larry can tell you about it. And I don't know what it was, but there was about 35 of us, and by then, and we put an ad in the paper, and Doug called me, and I was on my back porch. I said, well, I need to ask just some important questions later on. I said, I just want to know what you think the Bible teaches on such and such a thing. And you can ask what we believe the Bible teaches. Amos said two can't walk together unless they're in agreement. And I said, if you're wrong, then we're going to be wrong. If we're wrong, you're going to be wrong. But we're going to be in agreement. You know? And I said, you know, questions like marriage and divorce and church work and stuff like that. And that's what we went over. That's what we went in. And we was on the same page that we caught the book was teaching then. And then we met down here. And it's all history from that point on. But Paul recognized that we have fellowship to share the gospel of each other. And that's what we've tried to do. That's what we have been doing here. And as long as I breathe, that's what we will be doing. And some of the other brethren here. We've had some problems. This is the reason my introductory is so long. I could not end this, the book of Philippians, without Philippians saying something about Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. If we just get that digested through this course of this lesson, we have really accomplished something. That's a true statement. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we could be so much better and do so much better success once we start adopting that in our lives. Christ and God is the authority. Get up every morning and I pray. I said, Lord, be with me through this day. If I don't make it, have mercy on my soul. I hope I can see your strength. I hope I can let you guide me. I hope I can swallow my pride and rely upon you to make it through this day. Then that night, I thank him for doing what I asked. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that's the reason Paul and the church got along together, because they're both doing that. And the secret of living amidst life difficulty. This is the reason it's so important. The secret of living amidst life difficulty is simple. It's not hard to do. Trust God in such a way that one can say, I can do all things through him who strengthened me. You're going to have problems. I've dealt with people who have obeyed the gospel and they throw it back up to me and say, well, I didn't know it was going to be this hard. It is hard. To be a Christian is hard. You're going to have problems. You're going to have kids. We just ate at Judy's Castle, and I knew this guy came in. He came in, he had six little kids. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And his wife is pregnant. I thought, man, oh man, what's wrong with that guy? But it's his religion. You don't believe in contraception, you know. So if you don't, you're going to have kids. He's getting ready to have seven. And he's a young guy, a lot younger than I am, and he's got seven small kids there he's going to take care of. It's going to be a pain in the neck, but it's his business. This does not mean that God will bless whatever a person does. Everything I do, I'm just going to be blessed. I'm going to go down and play the stock market tomorrow. And man, I'm going to make me some money. No, it's not that way. It must be read within the contents of the letter. And the contents of that letter implies that we are in obedience to God. God is first and foremost in our lives. And why he's first and foremost in our lives, because we're in obedience to him and service to others. We must do that. There's no other way around it. youngest grandson was in the ER last night. He's got flu pretty bad. They gave him a sterile shot and put him on some medicine and gave him breathing treatment. And he's confined for 7 days. And so his mother taking the next few days off to be with him. And his brother and sister is going to be staying over my house. He stayed in my house yesterday. He hadn't went to school, but he stayed in my house yesterday. On the way over to pick him up last night, probably about 5:30, 6 o'clock, she had a flat tire coming in the gate. Oh, man, it's too cold to go there and change the thing. But she bought a new car. And when she bought a new car, that was 3-4 months ago, they gave her a roadside service. And she had a number there to call. And they came out, changed the tire, and put the little sparrow on there. And and she went down to the Honda place where she did business with, and they gave her a new tire. And I told her, I said, you go down there. So Cindy went over and stayed with Lim while she went down and done it. And they gave her a new tire. I said, that's what it should be. You should have roadside service and hazard. And something fell off a truck or something. We never didn't know what it was. Well, by the time she made it through the gate back to my house, the tire was flat. Same thing happened to me a couple weeks ago. I didn't have roadside service. I just drove my truck over to Campbell Lane and drove it down and said, put me a new tire on this thing. We're going to have problems like that. That's part of life. It doesn't mean that God's going to say, well, you're never going to get broke down. No, it doesn't say that. It's not talking about that. Philippians, the 4th chapter, in verse 11 through 12. Not that I speak in regards to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. That's something we can't do. Most of us can't do. We just can't do that. Could be endure. In other words, I have learned in whatever state that I am in to be content. Content could be to endure. God expects us to endure whatever situation that we're in. I know how to be abased without nothing. And I know how to abound to have everything. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry. Both to abound and to suffer in need. So Paul said, I've been top of the ladder, bottom of the ladder, but God is still with me. I rely on God. That's where we got to be. God is first and foremost in our lives. Nothing is more important to us than God and Jesus Christ. And Paul recognized that, and that's the way he is. And that's what we need to do. If our life was always easy, and I've had a pretty easy life. See, my parents gave me an easy life when I was home. And then after I put them aside and got married, Cindy's gave me an easy life. So I've had a good, easy life. I'm not complaining about that. But our life were always easy. We'll never strengthen or be encouraged. And that's one thing, we'll have these little riffles come along every once in a while. And Paul looked at him as being just a little riffle. He didn't let him destroy him. We can't let nothing come along to destroy us. If we did, but then we would miss out on the opportunity to get to know God very close. God wants us to draw near to Him. Only as we face one challenge after another and experience God's faithfulness will we learn to depend on Him instead of ourselves. We got to get to that point. And Paul was that way. Paul was to think, he recognized it's just not me, but I got a higher power that's directing my footsteps and being with me. I thought the Christian life was to be easier than this. Have you ever thought that? Or have you ever had that said to you? I've had some converts that I studied with and baptized said that to me several times, more than once. The Bible doesn't promise that. Yes? You want to say something, Freddie? The Bible doesn't say that. Doesn't promise that. You know, most of the promises that we have in this book is after this life. Is after this life. It's not while we're here, not while we're enduring it here, but it's after this life.
John,
yes.
You can take the position that life was going to be easier, but, you know, I think that Romans 8:18 makes it very clear, like you just said, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Now, John Bassett said that was a verse for the hardest day you ever lived, so whether it's good or bad, whatever we face on earth, just doesn't compare to what heaven's going to be like. So if it's good, fine. But heaven's better. If we're having a tough day, that's life. Heaven's going to be better.
And that's what we got to get to. We got to get in spiritual maturity. We got to get to that stage. You know, and I've been up there to see Larry. Larry has a high-pressure job. Vice president of the medical center. Yeah. You don't think you have to go through a lot of hoops in that position? You do. It takes something. Sometimes we come into the family of God thinking that our Heavenly Father will fix all our problems and devote Himself to our happiness and comfort. You seen that furniture commercial on television where this little door, I guess it's his daughter and him sitting there, and she said, somebody said you went someplace else and got some, buy some furniture, and he's sitting there on the edge of bed and he shakes his head like this. No, you shouldn't have done that. Yes, sir?
Many times when I've heard that comment, I thought a Christian life was easier than this. It's come from somebody that has focused more on the prohibitions of life than on the blessings that come with being a Christian and the blessings that come from Christ. And they focus on all the things that they can't do and they wish they could do or they want to go back. And you have to understand, when you're a Christian, that life is a different walk. It's walking in newness of life and not reaching back into the world or clinging on to separate yourself from the world and from worldliness, Satan's temptation and his grasp on you. So then that life perspective, that life changes.
Very true, and we got to do it. Don't have no other way around it. However, that is not the reality portrayed in the Scripture. Paul was a man who the Lord used greatly, and yet his life was anything but easy. Doesn't say you're going to have a, if you're a Christian, you're going to have a good life, easy life. You're going to have a good eternity. Yes, sir?
I heard a preacher years ago, you know, sometimes we as Christians think we have it hard. And the preacher said, you know, I've done so much as even been slapped for the cause of Christ.
Sometimes it's because we haven't been very active, the reason we haven't been slapped. But I don't know. In fact, one point the apostle thought that his pain was too much to bear, and he begged God to remove it. You know what God said to him? There's nothing wrong with asking the Lord to relieve our suffering, but what should our response be if He does not? Don't let it shatter us. Don't let it destroy us.
The best thing you can do, Charles, is always just ask for strength.
You're exactly right. Paul probably had no idea that life experience would find its way into the Bible, well, like it did, to comfort and guide believers throughout the age. The promise God gave him applies to us as well.
Well, you know, Paul himself had a thorn in the flesh that he asked the Lord three times to be removed. He says, my grace is sufficient.
You're exactly right. My grace is sufficient for you. That's how we need to approach everything. My grace is sufficient. In other words, His love, His mercy, and His grace is sufficient for us. I don't know. I might have to walk around with a cane. If I do, that's fine. I have laid on the recovering bed in such pain that I asked the doctors to let me die. I've been in that kind of pain. And I remember telling one of them, I said, I'm a Christian. I'm not afraid of dying. And I said, I don't want to live in pain like I'm living in. I've been operated on too many times. I'm going back in next week. I'm going the 20th or 21st, 22nd. Then the following week I go, no, January I go the 9th. You do what you have to do. Don't give up. So I asked for my oldest daughter, which works for this hospital that I was in, to come in. They said, no, she can't come in here. I said, she works here. I said, I want her here. The next thing I know, she was laying over top of me. And she asked me what I needed. I said, I want to die. God's grace could be defined as His providing for us at the point of our need. The problem is that sometimes it doesn't seem as if the Lord truly is meeting our needs. But He has and He does. That's what faith does for us. But He frequently sees deficiencies, outcomes, and complications that we don't. God sees a lot that we don't. His goal for us involves spiritual growth. Let's not get wrapped up on the physical thing. Physical pain, the development of God, of Christ-like character, and a strong faith. That's what God's looking for. He wants us to develop a Christ-like, a Paul-like character, and a strong faith. Trials play a vital role in achieving these things. So next time we go through some type of trial, just say, well, the Lord is trying to make me stronger, a little bit more faith. He's there helping us to do that. The important issue is how we respond. How are you going to respond to this, Charlie? You're going to give up like a chicken like you are and want to say, well, just let me die and get out of my pain. If all we want is relief, we could descend into anger and doubt. But if our desire is to become a person like God wants us to be, we see each trial as an opportunity for Christ to display His character and strength in us. Paul said, I'll be like Christ. And I tell you what, you might not believe it, but we're done with the introductory. I'm quitting right there. I'm going to let Grant take it from there on out. I'm not going to introduce nothing more. We don't have it now. We never will have it. We'll get it verse by verse study. Thank you very much.
It's yours.